Hello everybody, this is Andrew Hodgson for Blind Cool Tech, and today I'm going to be discussing the use of Citrix or Terminal Server using a screen reader. First of all, I'm going to discuss what is Terminal Service or Citrix. Basically, it's a technology that's used to allow a user using a thin client to access a remote Windows session. Now basically, a thin client is a device that has very little memory or disk, in fact most of them are diskless, which will boot up and connect to the network and will then connect to the Citrix or Terminal Server session, and the user will then see his or her screens of the session on the screen of the thin client. Now, as far as the user's concerned, they don't actually notice any difference. In fact, they go ahead using their system as much, you know, like normal. And they're used a lot in call centres and banking environments where the end user isn't really doing that much and does not need access to a fully fledged PC. However, up until a couple of years ago, a blind person using a screen reader wouldn't have access to this type of technology. The main reason is because the technology doesn't actually send any text down the link between the thin client and the remote session. It just sends images, and also the thin client most often can't actually run a screen reader. However, all the screen reader manufacturers now support both Terminal Services and Citrix, but the one I'm using most heavily at the moment is WindowEyes. The main reason I'm using WindowEyes is because I just feel that it's got the edge in remote access support at the moment, and I'll come on to why I think that in a minute. Basically, now what we have is JAWS and WindowEyes and HAL. HAL and WindowEyes has access to Citrix or remote desktop out of the box. JAWS, you do have to purchase an extra license, and unfortunately I haven't done that, so I haven't explored JAWS at all. WindowEyes is very useful in that it gives you quite a few ways to deploy the software within the Citrix or Terminal Server environment, and these basically have advantages and disadvantages depending on what you're going to be doing. I, by the way, use this on a daily basis, this technology on a daily basis, because I work in the IT industry working in networks, so I need to connect to several remote desktop sessions in order to check status of servers and perform tasks where I can't perform them using a remote management tool. So I do use this on a daily basis, and I have never had any issue with it at all. It is just like using a program on another machine. It you know, on a local machine, it will work straight away for you once you get it actually starting to talk. You can use it straight away. Basically, WindowEyes is very flexible in the way that it can be deployed in the environment, and there are three main ways to deploy WindowEyes. The first way is if you have a thin client that does not support a screen reader. These thin clients are quite often, they're just a small box attached to a monitor. Some are even built into the monitor themselves. Quite often they'll boot off the network these days, so they don't even have a power supply. And basically, the way that WindowEyes can access such a thin client, this is all explained as well in the WindowEyes manual and help file. It is explained very well. In later versions of the client software, for example Terminal Services or Citrix, it is possible to redirect the output from the serial port of the Citrix session or Terminal Service session to your thin client. So what this allows you to do is to connect a remote synthesizer. Unfortunately, it has to be a hardware synthesizer or a Braille display to the device, to the thin client device, through its serial port. Then when you connect to the thin client, you then log in and start WindowEyes. WindowEyes will then send the signals to, for example, COM1 or whatever this virtual serial port is, which will then be sent down the channel to your thin client, and you can then use the speech synthesizer. One thing I have found is that some of these thin clients now don't even have a serial port, and you need to find a serial synthesizer. I have actually got this to work, but I haven't used it for a number of years, so I would say that if you are thinking of using this, I would speak to GW Micro or whoever your screen reader vendor is to find out what is compatible out there, because I don't know what is compatible in the way of synthesizers and whether USB synthesizers can be used. The second option works with a thin client as well, and it allows you to redirect the output of the sound system to your speakers on the thin client. This has a bit more success than the first option. The downside to it is that it doesn't work with Braille, and the other downside to it is that the output from the sound card coming to the sound on the thin client is actually quite poor due to the fact that it's actually having to go over the network. But if that option is available, you know, and you want to use that option, some blind users also would probably find it beneficial to have the sound output to their thin clients or terminal services sessions if they're using it on a regular basis, so that they can, for example, hear status sounds and things like that. I don't tend to use that option, but it is available to people if they want to use it. The third option, which I'm going to be demonstrating for you in a minute, is the option that I use, and it allows you, it's called the WindowEyes Virtual Channel. What this basically is that you have a full copy of WindowEyes on your PC, so it doesn't work with a thin client. However, you can install a PC. You don't have to connect it to any type of Windows domain. You can give it the user who needs to use it very limited access to the operating system. Ensure that WindowEyes is started up on the PC. Enable what's called the WindowEyes Virtual Channel, and then ensure that when you actually connect to the thin client, or connect to the terminal server rather, you then specify that you use WindowEyes Virtual Channel as your synthesizer. What this will do is it'll use your WindowEyes synthesizer in your current version of WindowEyes on the desktop as the actual synthesizer in the remote session. The data for the synthesizer is actually transmitted over the link. By the way, these links are encrypted, and they can work just as well if you're connecting through a VPN, so it enables, for example, home working. A lot of companies allow deploying this type of technology in VPN environments because it allows people to work from home without the risk of having to install complicated applications at home. They can connect to their databases and other environments as well very easily as if they were at work. So this is something that's going to become more popular in the workplace, and also at home as well. It allows people to, for example, remotely connect to their PC while they're away, if they have access over the internet, or if they have some way of getting to their PC through a static IP address. But it is used more in terms of businesses accessing remote servers or remote desktops, or as I said, using thin clients with call centres or other type of systems. In the UK, they're used heavily in the police and, as I said, in banking sectors. Okay, so enough of me talking. I'm going to demonstrate now using WindowEyes with a remote desktop session. Unfortunately, I don't have access to top-of-the-range recording gear, so WindowEyes is going to be a bit quiet in the background. But I'm going to start WindowEyes up now on this machine. And you'll hear that it's my local copy of WindowEyes.
WindowEyes 6.0. WindowEyes.
Okay, so the speech is quite slow, as I've slowed the speech down. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you the options that pertain to remote access on the local PC that you need to set in order to allow the virtual channel. Okay, so I'm going to do this now. I'm going to go into the WindowEyes program group, and I'm going to go into the advanced options.
Start menu P. All program on WindowEyes W pull down. Advanced options a pull down. video support maintenance key. For patients eyes.
Okay, so the video support maintenance is what you'd go to, for example, excuse me, if you need to set the WindowEyes video support on your local PC. We do need to go on to that in a minute, but I will go on to the next option.
Virtual channel maintenance key for patients.
Virtual channel maintenance is the option that we're going to go on to now. I'm going to press enter.
Menu closed. Cancel. Button. Dialogue.
Right, we're in a dialogue now where we have a couple of options, and they are...
Enable Citrix virtual channel support for WindowEyes. Button.
That's if you were using a Citrix environment, and you can enable the Citrix support if you want to, for example, use the Citrix system and you're using a Citrix environment. We're not using that here, so that's actually disabled currently. So if I tab again.
Disable Microsoft virtual channel support for WindowEyes.
As you can see, that is enabled at the moment, and that is the virtual channel support for Microsoft Remote Desktop. It's actually called RDP, or Terminal Services. It's exactly the same thing. So that's very important. Without that option enabled, you won't be able to get speech remotely. So I'm going to press Escape now, or you can press the Cancel button. I've come out of that, and I've just silenced the speech. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start a remote session with a Windows 2003 server, which is called Elrond. Okay, which is my server that I use. I use it for testing and for general mucking about, basically. So we're going to start the session now, and to do that, I'm going to go into Remote Desktop.
Start menu.
This can be found in Accessories.
A. Agenda. P. Create A. Accessories.
In Programs.
Accessibility pull down.
If you go to Communication.
C. Communication C. Hyper Terminal A.
And then R for Remote Desktop.
R. Property sheet, remote desktop connection.
Okay, so this, I'm now in a window where I can type in the computer that I want to connect to. The machine I want to connect to is called Elrond.
E-L-O-F-D, cancel, button, Elrond remote desktop, custom control.
Right, now here is where I lose all my speech. I've now got in front of me the remote desktop from Elrond, and I can see a Windows login screen. Now, unfortunately, with the remote desktop, there is no way that I know of simply getting the screen reader to speak before the login. So what I'm going to do here, because I know that I'm going to be at the password box, so I need to shift tab to the username box. I'm going to type the username in, and I'm going to press tab, and I'm going to type the password in. Okay, now I'm going to wait a couple of seconds whilst the session loads. And I'm gonna. It usually takes about 10 seconds. I usually wait until the session is fully loaded. I've got a few things that have to load. It's not the fastest of machines. Right, I'm now in the virtual session, and I'm gonna try pressing Control, Alt, and W to get into WindowEyes in the virtual session.
WindowEyes 6.0, desktop.
Okay, I'm now in WindowEyes, and as you can hear, the speech is much faster in this session. The reason for that is because I'm actually in a in my own copy of WindowEyes in the virtual session. I've installed WindowEyes on the server, so I'm now on the server. So I'm just going to slow the voices down.
All voices down.
I hope that's so enough for people. Okay, so to prove that it is actually the virtual server, I'm going to hit the start button now.
Start menu.
And I'm going to move up and down.
Server management desk.
Okay, so I'm server management.
Command prompt C. Enterprise manager E.
Okay, this is sort of server type things.
WindowEyes W. Location C WindowEyes.
If I go to programs.
P. All programs. Server management desk. Windows catalog W. Windows update W.
As you can see, we're in a 2003 environment, so I've got all the rubbish that I have on the server, basically.
Accessories a pull down. Administrative tools a pull down. CW Sync server C pull down. Microsoft Exchange M pull down.
Okay, so basically I've got all the applications that you'd expect to have on a standard Microsoft server, like Active Directory and that type of thing. Let's look at one of the common things that you might want to do on a server. This basically will work exactly the same in a desktop environment. except for on a desktop type of server that you have in a call center environment or a bank or something like that, you will find, for example, Microsoft Office is installed on this and several web applications probably. The server environment that I've got this in is obviously quite limited because it's running a server. But if you're a blind network engineer, for example, then this will be very familiar to you. Then, you know, you want to actually connect to a server, and this is the type of thing you'll probably be getting, and this you'll probably feel quite at home with some of these things I'm going to show you. Just for the desktop people, I'm going to go into
accessories,
and then
remote desktop system tools, WordPad.
WordPad. I'm in WordPad now.
Document.
And I'm just going to show you, for example, if in the tools menu.
Arial 10 Western.
I've got the font. I've gone into the wrong menu here. I've pressed Alt T. I'm just going to press Alt H for help.
Help menu closed. Help page pull down. Bullet style B. Paragraph. Bullet style B. Font.
This is basically the formatting menu, and you can change the font.
Menu closed. Combo. Edit.
I want to make sure I want to use Times New Roman.
T-I-M-E-S space. Combo. Combo. Times New Roman. 29.
And I'm going to put this.
Period. This is a small test in the virtual desktop.
Okay, so basically I can write my document, I can save it, I can do whatever I want to, as if I was using the Windows session. I'm going to close this now.
Yes, why? Button. Dialogue.
Now, I got the, do you want to save your changes to this document? I didn't get the bell sound. That is because I don't have sound output enabled on the virtual terminal. For the reason I specified before, it is quite bandwidth intense. This is what the default settings are. So you won't get any sound through on the virtual terminal. So I'm just going to say no, I don't want to save that.
Desktop.
Okay. So basically, I can do anything I want to in this virtual desktop environment. So I'm going to go in to look at the device manager in my machine now and have a look to see what devices I've got on the server.
Start menu.
I'm going to go into the control panel.
C control panel C pull down.
Now in a Windows Server 2003 environment, the control panel and other menus are actually laid out a bit differently. And what we have is that they're all laid out in a menu style. So it said the control panel was a pull down. That means that I can actually press the right arrow on that.
Accessibility options.
And I've got a menu come up, and I can go into the accessibility options.
And hardware.
And all this sort of thing. I'm going to go to
the
systems.
System S. See, menu closed. System properties launch attention.
Okay. So I'm in the system properties now. One thing I have found sometimes in a virtual desktop environment is sometimes that and I don't know whether this is me or not, but I've found sometimes that the focus on the window doesn't stay there all the time, so I have to Alt-Tab a couple of times. But if you're used to it, then you can, you know, you can get used to it. Also, as well, I have the verbosity on this set quite low because I try and do as much as I can as quickly as I can on this. So I'm now going to use the mouse cursor to look at the actual the state of the system. So I'm now in the properties dialog box. I'm going to move down with the mouse cursor.
System. Microsoft Windows Server 2003. For small business server.
This is because we're using the small business edition of this Windows 2003 on this server.
Service Pack 1. Register to Andrew Hodgson.
Okay.
Andrew Hodgson, IBM.
It does speak everything that, like, the mouse pointers and everything that it uses as well on this, so I'm going to move down a bit more.
7499507.
That's the product ID, which I don't really want to read out, but I'm going to move down a bit more.
Computer, Aero, Intel R Pentium R4 CPU, 3.00 GHz, 2.00 GB of RAM.
Okay, so basically it's telling me that I've got a bog-standard Pentium 4 in there, with 2 gigs of RAM. I'm just going to go into the device manager now.
Property sheet, device manager B.
Basically, I'm going through this quite quickly. It is basically standard Windows shortcuts that I'm using. in this environment. There's nothing special about the shortcuts that I'm using, so I'm assuming that you know how to use the Windows system to get the information out of it, basically.
Space. Device manager. Device manager on local computer. Depth 1. Preview. Elrond.
Okay, so this is the machine name. It's called Elrond. So it says Elrond here, there, but so there we go.
Computer. AP multiprocessor PC. AP multiprocessor. Disk drives. Closed. Disk drives. RID value 1.
Okay, so basically it's saying that we've got, it's detected the two processes in the machine, and it's detected the in the disk drives you've got the RAID volume, because we're using RAID on this machine as well. And I could go on and on with the components in this system, but we are using this. These are the components on the server, and we can interact with them, look at the status, and install drivers, and so forth. I'm going to close this option now. Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go into the Active Directory, and we're going to look at some of the properties in Active Directory. This isn't going to be a complete Active Directory course. I'm just showing you that you can use Active Directory in this environment.
Start menu A. Administrative tools. Active Directory users and computers. Menu close.
So we're going into the Active Directory users and computers snap-in, which is called ADUC, fondly known by Microsoft people as ADUC. If I'm in there now.
SBS computers.
And because this is a SBS system, it does have specific Active Directory properties that wouldn't be there normally, so I'm just going to navigate my way to the...
Distribution groups, SBS servers, SBS secure users, closed users, SBS users, closed.
Okay, I'm in the OU where I've got all my users. I'm going to actually get to my username.
Administrator Andrew Hodgson.
Which is Andrew Hodgson. I'm going to get the user details up on that.
First name F. Andrew.
Okay, so we're in the Active Directory properties for my username, and basically I can do
general address account 3.
If you go into the account,
edit box, user login name U, Andrew.
That's the logon name is Andrew.
Hodgsonfamily.org.
That's the Active Directory domain.
Read only. Edit box. User login name pre edit box. User login name login hours. L.
So I can basically change anything
login
I want to in here.
User must change password at next login. User cannot change password.
So basically I can do any of these things. Another important thing,
edit box, profile,
is the profile, and then you've got
member of
the member of, I can choose what groups I'm in.
Member of M. No selected domain admins.
So I'm very high level, I'm a domain administrator, which basically means I have access to anything I want to on the system.
Domain users, Hodgson, Active Directory folder, mobile users, remote web workplace users, mobile...
Okay, I'm basically a member of every, most of the important groups, including domain admins, gets me most places on the system, so... But if I wanted to change someone's access rights to the system, I could do it through here in the groups.
Member of...
I'm going to go into...
Dial-in. A. Environment. Session. Remote control. Terminal. Com. Exchange General. Email addresses.
Email addresses, because we use an Exchange server here.
New. Automatically updated email. Email addresses. M. No selected. SMTP. Address. AndrewElrond.HodgsonFamily.org. SMTP.
So I can add aliases for the users in on this screen, for example, email. If I come out of this screen now and write and do a context click on this.
Context menu, copy, add to the group.
I can copy the user, so I can basically, in Active Directory, we use copy to get all the user attributes and put them into a new user.
Disable, reset password.
I can reset the password, so for example, you know, if someone rings up the help desk and says, oh, I've lost the password, then we can reset it.
Disable account.
And I can disable the account if I don't want them to use it anymore. So, you know, this is basically, we have all access to Active Directory through this system. I mean, I could go on and on and on, basically, with anything that you can do on a Windows PC, and has, you know, you can do it through this system. And I have to say that a lot of the Microsoft applications that use MMC are pretty much accessible using standard Windows keystrokes. I haven't really run into an application that doesn't work. But what I want to show you now is in Windows on this side of the system, which is the server, I'm going to go into the WindowEyes start menu icon.
Start Win P, Server W, Windows Catalog W, WindowEyes W, Advanced Options, Video Support Maintenance.
Okay, what we've got, we're in the same place that we were at the beginning with the Video Support Maintenance and Virtual Channel Maintenance. If I go to the Virtual Channel Maintenance on virtual this side.
Menu closed. Cancel. Button. Enable Citrix Virtual Channel Support for Windows.
So that's disabled.
Enable Microsoft Virtual Channel Support.
So basically what I'm telling you here is that we make sure none of the virtual channels get added on this side, because the virtual channel is to do with the side, the WindowEyes on your local PC. We don't actually enable any of the virtual channels on the server. What we do have to enable though on the server is the video driver for RDP access, and that's found in
Start P, Server W,
WindowEyes Advanced and Video Support Maintenance.
Menu closed. No N. Dialogue. For advanced. No N. Yes, what space? Dialogue.
It's telling me that it was for advanced users.
Cancel. Disable main video support.
We need to have the main video support enabled.
Enable Citrix ICA video support.
We don't need that as we don't use Citrix.
Disable Microsoft RDP video support.
But we do need to enable Microsoft RDP video support. WindowEyes, if you start WindowEyes without that enabled, it'll cause the system to want to reboot, basically. So it's a good idea to keep to make sure that that's installed when you're actually installing WindowEyes onto the server or wherever you're installing it, onto the terminal server or wherever. I'll close this option now. The next thing I want to show you is
WindowEyes Active Explorer
in the WindowEyes control panel, and I'm going to show you the synthesizer selection dialog, and we have to select when we first install WindowEyes onto the server. We don't get speech until we change the active synthesizer to the
virtual Microsoft RDP.
To the Microsoft virtual RDP. And the reason that it is because it defaults to using the DeckTalk Access 32, which is part of WindowEyes. And that basically obviously can't go anywhere because you don't have access to a sound card unless the sound's been redirected, which in this case it hasn't. So what happens when you start it up is that WindowEyes will start silent, and the first thing you have to do is go into the control panel of WindowEyes and change the active synthesizer to the RDP. Basically, I'm going to just now go through tips for setting up WindowEyes in this environment for users who want to actually install it on the server, and how best to do it, basically including installing the software with a limited number of reboots. So when you install WindowEyes on a server, there are a number of things to look out for that can make it easier to actually install it without rebooting it several times. The first thing that I've noticed is that it's a very good idea to have up-to-date display drivers installed on the actual server itself. Now, if you have, for example, a Dell server or a HP server that come with installation management software like Dell OpenManage or HP OpenView or whatever they're called, you can actually use the drivers that come with that. Otherwise, just install the drivers that come with the server, or you can download them off the internet. Once you've actually installed the latest display drivers, what I tend to do is install WindowEyes using the no speech option, because that gives me the chance to install it before I reboot. Now what I tend to do is install WindowEyes with the limited amount of synthesizers, so basically only the DeckTalk gets installed, and then I install the relevant braille displays. I usually check none for those, and then at the point where you select the synthesizer, you can move down to the virtual RDP synthesizer. And then once you've done that, it asks you to reboot. I tend not to reboot at that stage, but I go on to actually go into the advanced settings and install the virtual RDP channel maintenance, which will cause it to reboot. And at that point I do reboot. So basically you can install it using only one reboot of the system, which will minimise your downtime when you install it. obviously installed it in a test environment, and the if you're installing it in a Citrix or RDP environment, then you will need to know how to log on to that environment, and that's something that, unfortunately, I don't believe that you can do it before you can load WindowEyes before the login session. So that is something that you have to do on your own. But that's basically a case of username and password, and possibly using a fingerprint login or whatever you're using at work if you're using a specific login mechanism. Basically, I mean, I think this type of technology has really, you know, opened up doors for me. I can use it to manage systems, and I'm basically on an equal footing with my sighted peers. I think that what I would like to see in future is perhaps an option where we can have no actual screen reader installed on the actual server itself. So, for example, connecting to a virtual desktop, to a remote desktop, and somehow using software or a runtime on the virtual desktop. WindowEyes, I found, it's not intrusive on the server, but it's an application that we do have to install on the server. It does require a reboot, and it would be really neat if we could just have, you know, sort of a pipe dream this is, but if we could just have an application that we could run, which would run a virtual screen reader in the virtual terminal session. Something sort of a bit like System Access, but that would work with a server. I think that would be really neat. But certainly the technology works, and it works well, and you know, you can use it for any sort of application. Of course, you've got to make sure that the application that you're using it with is accessible, and you need to use set files or scripts or whatever to get that working. But in most cases, it should work fine. If anyone wants to contact me about this or wants to know any more information, the best way to get hold of me is through email, and my email address is andrew@hodgson, that's HODGSON, family, FAMILY, all one word, .org. I really would like some feedback, really, in how you thought this article was presented, and if I could have done anything different. I have done a few articles before, but this is the first sort of podcast sort of article I've done, so I hope it comes out okay and that it wasn't too rushed or anything like that. I've just used Audacity to create it, so if there's any tips that anyone wants to give me, then I'd be really happy to hear them. Other than that, if anyone has any questions, then feel free to email me, and I'll try and do my best to help. Thank you very much for listening, and I do hope you can join me again for another podcast at some point.